Boy meets girl. Boy marries girl. Boy, does that ever change things. Community Players presents a classic comedy from Neil Simon, opening with a preview September 5th and running through the 15th. It's Barefoot in the Park. Playing newlyweds Paul and Corey Bratter are Dakota McDaniels and Kayla Blue. The director is Opal Virtue, who says this Neil Simon classic was a good fit for her directorial skill set.
I always look for something with a smaller cast. That seems to be my passion, a more intimate group of people to work with.
So is it easy money to do a Neil Simon play?
Yeah, they're popular, especially with our older crowd. So they always look forward to a Neil Simon show. The story revolves around Corey and Paul Bratter, who are newlyweds. The show starts with them being married 6 days ago. They're just coming back from their honeymoon into a walk-up apartment on the fifth floor in New York. Paul never saw this apartment. He saw one on the third floor. And so it just starts with an empty apartment, and they're waiting for the furniture to come. Corey is a very glass-half-full kind of girl. She sees the fun and excitement in everything, and Paul is not. And so once the honeymoon is over, the story starts to show the differences between them.
They seem to be kind of a odd couple, if I may use that phrase.
Yes, they are. Very much opposites attract kind of situation. I think she's just very young at heart. She looks at everything with rose-colored glasses, can always see the good in anything, looks forward to any kind of adventure. And Paul is just not that way at all. Adventure scares him. The unknowns causes him stress. He just likes status quo.
So you're the young newlyweds of Barefoot in the Park. Why did you want to be in this show? Why did you want to play Corey?
I was interested in the role because throughout my theatrical experience, I haven't had a chance to portray a character like Corey. This is my first foray into contemporary or modern theater, and it was a challenging opportunity as well as one that I looked forward to taking on.
So are you accustomed to doing like Shakespeare and things like that?
That's right. I have a master's in Shakespeare and performance. I recently played Florizel in The Winter's Tale, as well as Don John in Much Ado About Nothing.
How do you like doing Neil Simon?
I don't care for it.
Okay. Why not?
I have a penchant for theater that leaves the audience with a clear resolution.
Oh, okay. Oh, so we're not going to have as much of a clear resolution with this play. Is that a little heads up there?
I would say so. There's definitely sort of an open-endedness to the show in particular.
Okay. But, well, Dakota, why did you want to play Paul?
Well, I'm a huge fan of Neil Simon.
Okay, how cozy.
By contrast. I've done a few other Neil Simon shows, Rumors and Lost in Yonkers, and I think Paul as a character really appeals to me because we are very similar, just sort of boring vanilla individuals.
See, I like vanilla. I don't think it's boring.
Oh yeah, it's nice to just sort of sit back and be the guy that things happen to, not have to make them happen yourself.
So if Dakota is, as Paul, vanilla, then Kayla, what are you as Corey, as an ice cream flavor?
Tie-dye.
Tie-dye. What's that taste like?
Tastes like raspberries.
Just raspberries?
No, it tastes like raspberries, mint, blueberry, lemon, and grape all at once.
You know, the impression I have of Corey, you know, I saw the film many, many years ago, and I saw a stage version of that. And I think in modern terms, when I think of Corey, the phrase manic pixie comes to mind. Do you think is that on target?
I think that's apt. Manic has a negative connotation sometimes, but I think for Corey it might be positive.
And of course, Paul is eternal. Paul is like a blue blazer.
Oh, absolutely. A pretty consistent character that I think you could find in just about any genre or any time period.
Where does the humor come from in this play? Is it character driven? I mean, everyone knows that if you want a good snarky line, you can always depend on Neil Simon.
It is character driven. The comedy comes from the differences between Paul and Corey, and then we throw in Corey's mother, who is much more like Paul than Corey. She doesn't understand Corey at all. And then throw in their upstairs neighbor, Mr. Velasco. who is just kind of a kook, and he will do anything and everything. And Corey decides it's a good idea to set her mom and Mr. Velasco up on a blind date.
So that's an even more opposites attract thing going on there.
Very much.
So what makes a marriage work? What are we learning in this play about what makes marriage work?
I think what makes marriage work is compromise. Corey learns that she has, well, one of the lines, and although it kind of makes you go, when it's said because of this day and age, I do think it's true. She says that you have to give up a small part of yourself when you get married. And, you know, like I said, people are going to go, well, what? But I think it's true. You have to give and take. And she said, you know, if you want adventure and excitement and play your little games, do that in the bedroom at night. But during the day, do what you can to make him happy.
For me, I would say taking your time, making sure you know who you're entering into this agreement with, because that is one of the things that this couple sort of struggles with. They end up feeling like maybe they didn't spend enough time getting to know each other before they made that leap. So definitely taking your time.
Kayla, do you feel that opposites attract, and can that be lasting?
I do agree that opposites attract. I find that adage to be very true with this play. However, maybe sometime their magnetic poles switched for Corey somewhere in the middle of the play, and what was once alluring and attractive to Paul became the opposite.
Well, the play was originally written in the early 60s. Are you keeping it set there?
I'm setting it at 1966. It was written in 1963, I believe. Part of that is I wanted to use the song Born Free because I just think that is Corey, and we're opening the show with that, so I wanted it set in 66 so I could use that music.
So the play offers us an opportunity to learn perhaps about a way to meet in the middle with these two very different people. Is this an important message for right now?
Oh, I think very much. I think it's important that we learn to get along, find the common ground in any relationship. And I think Neil Simon is really good at that. He writes almost every play about relationships and dysfunction within those relationships, but yet he always finds a way to bring it back to a good place.
You know, Neil Simon was pretty much a giant of theater in the latter half of the 20th century, but how do you feel Neil Simon is going to endure in the 21st century? We lost him in 2018, and so will his works live on, do you believe, Opal?
I think they will. I think he just seems to let us know that no matter what happens, it can be okay. He's always, like, this show is set in the 60s, and of course in the 60s was a major year of change, or a decade of change, but it was just starting. We were going to the moon, we were going to war, women were starting to come forward and say, hey, look at me. And in this particular show, Corey just thrives on that, that she's just so excited about everything that's happening in the world. And I think in all of his plays, he does that and shows us that even though change can be difficult, it's good and we'll work through it.
Opal, would you go barefoot in the park?
I absolutely would. I see Corey and myself a lot. I am the glass half full. Rose-colored glasses, can make good out of any situation and use humor a lot. So I see myself in Corey.
And you see yourself barefoot in the park.
I do.
That's Opal Virtue, director of Barefoot in the Park, starring Kayla Blue and Dakota McDaniels, opening with a preview September 5th and running through the 15th at Community Players Theater in Bloomington. I'm Laura Kennedy.